Yes, join the call 6 and Professor Jimmy Edwards are in the session again and fully booked for the next 30 minutes. Also on hand are Wally Seaton, Alan Dean and the keynote, and Frank Santelli's here with the augmented review orchestra. So if you've got half an hour, more or less, clear?
Joy, Joy, come here, will you? I want you to come with me. Bentley's finally going to get what's coming to him.
Oh, Jimmy, you don't mean that.
I do. Bentley's been asking for it for years.
Oh, Jimmy, you paid a deposit on that rubber duck.
No, Joy, this is serious. I have challenged Bentley to a duel. He provoked me beyond endurance.
Oh, this is bad. What did he say?
Well, I can't repeat the word, Joy. There may be innocent, unsullied minds listening. Sailors or band leaders. I can only say they were bitter, humiliating phrases, like lolly legs and droopy drawers.
Jimmy, a duel, you know, that can be dangerous.
Honor demanded satisfaction, Joy. Snatching a glove from the meter of a passing taxi. I say snatching it. I flicked him lightly across the cheek with the time-honored gesture.
Well, how did he react?
He made another time-honored gesture back. Then he drew himself up to his full height, looked me straight in the waist, and gave me his card. Here it is.
Well, let me read it. Richard Bentley, impresario, bon viveur, libretto, soldier of fortune, and fresh farm eggs, 8 and 6 a dozen. Oh, Jimmy, you two are just being silly.
We are not. As a matter of fact, Bentley's waiting for me in Hyde Park now. I told him that I had to come over and collect you. He's filling in his time with a new sixpence.
He's using it to shoot at?
No, to take out a paddle boat on the pond.
Oh.
Over to Hyde Park.
Come on in, number 9. You've had your fun as well.
Ah, thank you. Thank you, boatman. Please put my Mae West and the oilskins back in my locker. Ah, I had a really good workout today. Paddled all the way up to Edgware Road.
But the pond only reaches as far as the tea pavilion.
You think that made it any easier?
Well, there you are, Dick. I just heard that you're going to try and seek Jimmy. Oh, Dick, I didn't know you were that kind.
I suppose he came into it, George. He played an unpardonable trick on me this week. He told me that an artist in my eminent position shouldn't walk everywhere, and he offered to pull me around in a sort of rickshaw. Have you ever been pulled around in a rickshaw?
No, but I've had some nasty moments in a taxi.
Oh. Well, now, Jimmy pulled me all around the West End in this little cart, and I've only just seen what's written on the back. Look.
Oh, please spare a penny for the guy. Oh, Dick, you're taking it too seriously. Jimmy once told me he wouldn't hurt your feelings for £1,000. Unless it were cash, of course.
Now, don't try smoothing things over, Joy. I know his motives. I wasn't born yesterday.
That is the understatement of the year. Come, Bentley, I've brought the weapons that I want to use.
And I bought these. Feel how light they are. See how the couple's steel bends. Oh, I've done some damage with these two.
Dick, those are knitting needles. You can't do anything to a man with knitting.
Oh, no? You ever seen Lana Turner?
Come, Bentley, time is fleeting. Let's find a piece of ground where we can strip to the waist.
Well, this fit here will do. It's waist ground. Dick, I'll take your clothes.
Right. Now, here you are, Joy. Waistcoat.
Waistcoat.
Sweater.
Cardigan.
Shirt. Comforter. Muffler.
Woolly.
Pullover.
Give me a shout when you get to them dry bones.
Are you ready now?
Right. Well, we may as well do this thing properly. Now, which one of you is going to face into the wind?
Step forward, Bentley. We'll decide that in the traditional manner of the English talking gentleman. So, ready?
Ready.
Right.
A penny on the tram car, comes from the sea, looks on the railroad, out goes he. You lose, Bentley. Doc, your pistol.
Thanks, Doc. Here's your pistol.
Okay, now the two of you stand back to back. Now walk forward. Come on, Jimmy, walk forward.
Windy, eh? As I thought, Joy. He's too scared to move when he gets up against a real fighting man.
Bentley, my braces are caught in your shoulder strap.
All right. Now try it again. Five paces forward, then turn and fire. Are you ready?
Ready.
One, two, three. Four.
Wait.
What's the matter?
Forgotten my pistol.
Oh.
Oh, you dunderhead. Stick it in your belt where you won't forget it.
All right, Al.
Oh.
Haven't you got one with a warm spout?
Now, fellas, this is the last time. Now start walking. One, two, three.
No. Stop. Oh, no. I can't do it. I know Benji deserves it, but when I think back, well, I realize I just can't raise his pistol and shoot him.
Oh, Jimmy, you mean we're chums?
No, Clark, I left the ammo on the piano.
That was terrific. I was really transported.
Bentley, we don't want to know how you started life in Australia.
No, Dick, it's time for the mirror of the week. Let's look at the news items.
Yes, here's one. A scientific expedition is setting out to seek the crude dwelling places of primitive man. That should be interesting. I'd rather like to see a primitive dwelling place.
Then come on, Jim Edward.
Oh, it's you, Wallace. Are you still trying to get Jimmy back to the building?
Oh, it's for his own sake, Miss N. What kind of a job is this BBC game anyway? He only works half an hour a week. Why, they work longer than that on building houses. Providing they get the weather, of course.
But a BBC job is nothing to be ashamed of, Wallace. Some quite respectable people work here. I can't think of any offhand, but I...
Oh, give over, Mr. B. I've heard of some of the goings-on. That Wilfred Pickles inciting respectable old dears in 94 to have a go. And That Ronnie Waldman making some poor fella rack his brains, and for what? An accumulator. How many sets run off accumulators these days? Now, learn a trade, Jim.
I don't see the advantage.
Jim, a man who's got a trade has always got something solid to fall back on.
Jimmy's had that for years.
Now, a real job, Mr. B, like Bert Taylor. Now, he's fixed himself up. He gives you the steps.
Like Victor Sylvester?
No, no. In the underground. You know when you go down a moving staircase? Well, when you get to the bottom, the steps disappear under the grid feet. Well, Bert's under there. He picks up each step until he's got an armful. Then he nips off a ladder and feeds them back one at a time through the grid thing at the top.
Well, I can scarcely believe it. I always thought it was an endless belt.
Well, so it is. You're belting up and down that ladder. And it's a lonely job, too. Except when you leave a few steps out and then all sorts of people drop in. But Bert's got his eyes fixed on the future.
Well, in what way?
Well, he reckons to go into business for himself. Build his own little escalator and be his own master.
But how's he going to get the equipment to make the escalator?
Don't worry, he's taking all the necessary steps. So don't forget, Jim boy, if you ever want to get up them stairs, come on, Jim Edwards.
Mirror of the Week.
This week contains Guy Fawkes Day, and once more darkened gardens will echo to the bang and the whiz and the cries of, ah. Though it's primarily a children's celebration, the part that Kite likes is the aftermath, when smoke-stained fathers talk it over in the loop.
Off you with that anti-burn ointment, Sid.
Get through with all your fireworks, Al?
Yes, got up to some right larks and all. Uncle Ernie lit a Roman candle, put it in his mouth, and said, look, Mount Vesuvius. Yeah, he didn't realize he put it in the wrong way around. That's him over there, hiccuping golden rain.
How about the ladies?
The ladies, too. We got indoor fireworks for them. Poor old Granny, she's a bit nearsighted, you see. She thought the sparklers was acting, so she stuck him in her hair. I'll call her over. Hey, Baldy!
The law, ain't it, eh? Any of the nippers get hurt?
No, I played safe with them, see. I know Baby's out of harm's way. There was a big stick in the ground, so I tied Baby to it, see. He'd had a big pointed knob on top and a bit of blue paper dangling. And in case Baby got fretful, I gave her a box of matches to say, here, Bert, this had better be the last drink. Why? I just had rather a funny thought.
Monday night was Halloween, and all over the country we had the usual Halloween party, complete with bobbing for apples, roasting chestnuts, and casting out witches, generally by using such phrases as,
oh, maybe. Sit here on the floor by my knee and let me drop a hot chestnut into your open mouth. There. Oh, maybe. So sorry. You'd better stand up and wriggle. Ah, it's all right. Here it comes. I'll put it back on the dish. I do admire these Halloween decorations. This one here is a turnip, hollowed out into the shape of a face. I'll nibble a bit to show you that... Oh, I do apologize, madam. I assure you I had no ulterior motive. Come, Mavis, let us try bobbing for apples. You go the other side of this tub of cold water, and I'll go this. Now, see if you can sink your teeth into a rosy apple. Ready? Bite.
Oh, Mavis, I suppose you think that's funny.
A little boy read in a wonderful book.
Yes, it did take a few books.
That fairy folk dwell in the dell by the brook. So he hurried straight as fast his short legs could walk. I'll find them, said he, and we'll have a good talk. Oh, Leo, Lio, Lou, my darling, children have quizzical ways. Oh, Leo, Lio, Lou, my darling, and some keep them all of their days. He came to a man who was mending a clock. He got it to fit, but it just wouldn't come. And the little boy cried, will you come and help me look? Pooh, pooh, said the man as his fingers he shook. Oh, Lee, oh, Lie, oh, Lulu, my darling, people forget they were small. Oh, Lee, oh, Lie, oh, Lulu, my darling, they think they are wise because they're tall. The little boy came to a door in a rock. It opened right up when he started to knock. And there were the leprechauns under an oak. Fastened together like vapor and smoke. Oh, Lee, oh, Lay, oh, Lulu, my darling, children have quizzical ways. Oh, Lee, oh, Lay, oh, Lulu, my darling, and some keep them all of their days.
Thank you, Miss Nichols. So he's down to my program notes, nickety and nackety notes. I don't know why. Now, encouraged by the fact that a sequel to Mrs. Miniver is being made, we would like to refresh your memory of that great film. It was in the dark days when Britain stood alone. And by gosh, we could stand another loan today. Alan, don't get excited, children. There's not much hope. Hey, it's a film that enchanted the critics. At the premiere, even C.A. Lejeune was moved.
Excuse me, Mitch, you're sitting in the one of Crookness and you've only got a 90 ticket. Come along.
Tite's version is the story of just such another woman as Mrs. Miniver. She could have been you, or you, or you.
Who, me?
No, not you, Bentley. Oh, I don't know, though. Her name, Mrs. Viniger. And how she went through it. Through it. That was a good one, was it not? No, it was not. She is played with vivacious apathy by Miss Joynicles, voted by mass observation as the mass they would most like to observe. See her now as Mrs. Viniger, any English housewife. Cool, serene, gracious.
Oh, Father, do taste these. I just made them. They melt in your mouth.
Good. What are they?
Ice cubes. The WBS sent me along some knitting patterns and a Ministry of Food recipe. I'm afraid I got them rather mixed up. Does anybody want a blackberry pie with sleeves?
I myself play that sweetie pipe-smoking character, Mr. Viniger. We have a son. We christened him Walter because we needed the name for a gag later on in the script. Now, don't forget, see if you can spot it, kiddies. My son is played by Richard Bentley, a great artist and a grand fellow, and I say that with all the conviction I can muster. Somehow the words still stick in my throat. Anyway, the Brit plays Walter, a fresh-faced, clear-eyed youth who saw it through in the troubled days of Fosse.
Father, I've made up my mind. I'm going to join. Yes, I am. Well, it's only took me 2 weeks, and you can have 2 fiction and 1 non-fiction. Father, they turned me down at Naval Headquarters today.
And I did so look forward to the night. Well, I'll face up to it, that's all. I just can't be a wren.
So to our film, A Sentimental Journey. Even a hardened usherette felt a...
Yeah. And I did so look forward to the night. Well, I'll face up to it, that's all. I just can't be a wren.
So to our film, A Sentimental Journey. Even a hardened usherette felt a lump in her throat. That'll teach her not to suck her torch. Ladies and gentlefolk, we now present Mrs. Vinegar Rides Again, or Family Shower.
It is England, 1940. The scene is a village in Bucks, or to give it its full name, Hertfordshire. We are in the garden of a typical middle-class home, 5 bathrooms and 3 garages. Over in one corner, young Walter Vinegar is listening to a crowd of his intellectual equals.
In the rose garden, Mrs. Vinegar is busy with the pruning scissors and an old basket. Yes, Mr. Vinegar is there too. Puffing away at his favorite pipe. Oh, look, that's a big one.
I do wish we could stop blowing soap bubbles for a moment. Oh, Father, the garden is lovely this time of the year. The geraniums are a mess of color. And look, isn't that a rose in bloom?
So it is. Evening, rose in bloom.
Thank you, Vinegar. I'll call you.
I say there, anyone for tennis?
Oh, there you are, dear. And how have you been getting along at the university?
Well, to tell you the truth, they didn't seem to welcome me at Oxford.
Well, no wonder I sent you to Cambridge.
Oh, there's a thing. Just as I was trying so hard for a degree in modern Greek, I'm after a job at the Gas Light and Co.
Walter, my dear, it's time to discuss your future. Would you like to go on the stock exchange with your father? Do you know anything about the bulls and the bears?
Well, not much. I've only just got the hang of the birds and bees. Besides, my mind is made up. I'm going to join the RAF.
Count fella, can't beat the good old Navy.
Oh, no, dear. RAF isn't the Navy. It's those nice boys with the big moustaches.
Personally, I think big moustaches look ridiculous. Ah, well, they're taking the cream of the young men. May as well have this stuff. Good luck, boy. And I want you to take this. Always keep it with you. It served me well in the last spot of bother.
Thank you, Father.
What is it? It's a forged identity card. Try and avoid railway stations.
Good luck, Walter. Always try to behave like a true Vinegar. Keep a stopper on yourself. Don't let yourself get shaken. And Walter, I think you'd better say goodbye to Sonia. She's waiting for you by the lily pond.
Righto, Mumsy. Cheerio, Father.
Cheerio. Oh, there he strides. So tall, so manly. And yet, somehow he looks so young. Perhaps I should have put him into long trousers. Oh, look. He's talking to Sonia now.
Well, Sonia, this is it. I leave by the 7:45. No, don't move. I want to remember you just as you are now, with the flowers behind your ear. Goodbye, Sonia.
So the boy departed, and we left a light burning for him in the window. Nothing much happened, except the house burned down. Walter could now be described as one of the few. Everybody looked at him and said, "You."
Life was not without its excitement. I caught a German parrot trooper in the garden, a gaunt-looking young man. I forced him to eat some of my homemade soybean pasty. He afterwards protested to the International Red Cross.
Then one day, Walter came home on leave from the RAF. He had 2 rings now. They were underneath his eyes. He seemed to have plenty of money to splash about.
Father, they've made me treasurer of the mess fund.
I don't know much about uniforms, Walter, but are you supposed to wear both eagles on the same shoulder?
Well, only in the mating season, Mama.
Well, I must say, as you RAF boys put it, you look absolutely wizened.
Mother, please, the word is wizened. But I'm doing a great job. I'm down in Kent now, working on off.
Yes, sir.
Well, whereabouts exactly are you, Walter?
Kate, I can't tell you, Mother. It's terribly hot on security in my squadron. It was 4 months before they told us whose side we were on. I say, Dad, I'm thinking of going over there.
Oh, Walter, you don't mean...
Yes, over there by the fire. I'm sitting in a draft. Mother, I shouldn't tell you this, but I may be going with a certain VIP to Yalta.
Yalta? Oh, how I'd love to go with you. Is there a chance? Walter, lead me to Yalta.
That's the one, kiddie. Did you spot it?
We heard nothing from Walter for a long time after this. After his last visit, we all missed him and the solid silver candlestick. His letters when they arrived were heavily censored.
Mother, a letter. Listen, I'll read it to you. Dear folks, at last they've let me write. Well, here I am with a pretty decent crowd of chaps of my own class. I'm glad about that. Can't tell you much about the place, but I expect to be here about 56 days. That is, of course, subject to confirmation of sentence. Yours at the double, Walter.
The great march of history rolled on. There were many more four-power conferences, and finally, Casablanca. We didn't go to see it because Father can't understand a word of what Humphrey Bogart says.
They were momentous days. July, August, September.
30 days of expectant waiting, and then...
October. Finally, we arrived at D-Day minus one. The one who was minus was Walter. After a search for him and a hurried conference, the GOC said...
Well, I can't hang about no longer. Let battle commence.
But my boy was there. On the beachhead, he stood with his men kneeling round him as he called the positions on the chart.
Regs 11, 99, all the nines. Liberty click, 56.
How?
1945. And at last came the big push. And Walter was put in charge.
Mother, they've given me the push. It's all over. We've won.
Oh, bang off, as you are, RAF captain. But it was your mother who was the real hero, the ordinary British housewife, Mrs. Vinegar. As long as our island rate eats fish and chips, your name will be on their list.
Well, there's the thing. But I only did what I could to provide for my small family, and I hope to do as much when rationing starts.
But rationing has been on for the last 5 years.
Oh, I wonder what those little books were for. They certainly made very dull reading. But what of you? What are your plans for the future?
I'm going to build a new future. These last few years have not been wasted. I am mature now. Surely there's somebody somewhere who can use two steady hands with a strong grip.
I can tell in the augmented BBC review office to bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Joy Nichols, Dick Bentley, and Professor Jimmy Edwards. Encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Alan Dean, and the keynote. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. Joy, Dick, and Jimmy invite you to tune in next week, and...